is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. This is Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy at the time was in Ephesus. He was the church leader there at the time. And Paul was writing to him about what it means to be a leader in the church. He was also writing to him to help him resolve some of the issues or give him guidance and counseling on some of the issues that he was encountering. And he writes, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He says, be strong, spiritually strong. We're warned that, you know, being a Christian is not an easy thing. And it may not get easier as time goes by, because we're constantly in a battle. We're constantly in a battle as individuals. We're constantly in a battle as a church. We're constantly in a battle as the body of Christ. We're in a spiritual battle. Paul says here, we are to be spiritually strong. We are to be strong in the grace of Christ. Not some kind of self-willed strong. You know, sometimes we're told, especially I can remember as a youth, you know, well, just, you know, grin and bear it. Pull up your bootstraps, right? Chin up. You know, give yourself that internal strength to do whatever it is that needs to be done. Sort of a side note, I can remember when I was probably 8 or 9 years old in the middle of winter, and I was going to go to a friend's house to play or whatever. And my uncle happened to be there at our home. He says, look, I'll drop you off at the top of the driveway and you can just walk down, because it was snowing pretty heavily and there was a bit of a wind and it was quite cold. So I said, okay, I'll go with you. And so we get to the top of the driveway and he opens up the door and I get out in my snowsuit and I'm all covered and everything like this. And as I'm about to leave, he says, chin up! You know, because of the cold and the weather. I'm thinking, chin up. Anyway, okay, he's the adult, I'll do as I'm saying. So here I am walking down the driveway with my chin up. Crazy. I was so cold and everything, chin up. But that's it, you know, it's the same thing. Sometimes we're given advice with good intent and the advice is totally wrong. Totally wrong. The kind of strength that Paul was telling Timothy about was a kind of strength that comes from within, thanks to the grace. Thanks to the grace which has been mentioned already today of Jesus Christ. You know, by grace we're saved. By grace we are justified. We are made right with God. By grace we are sanctified. We are being taught and prepared for eternal life. By grace we live each day. By grace we are empowered, thanks to the Holy Spirit, to overcome. You know, Paul, in writing about being strong, gave three examples of how we can be spiritually strong. And he uses three very interesting examples in that he talks about how we are to be spiritual soldiers. It says, just a few verses down, it says in verse 2-4, he says, join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. You know, Christian life, we are, whether we know it or not, we are in warfare. We are in spiritual warfare, and we are soldiers in this war. And as a soldier, and the examples of what a soldier, what it means to be a soldier, has been on television for the last month with what's been happening in the Ukraine. Being a soldier is not a soft or easy life. Being a spiritual soldier is not a soft or easy life. Soldiers take hardship as a matter of course. It's something that they expect. Soldiers take courage. Soldiers are willing to take a risk, including risking their own lives. And above all, soldiers fight to win. Soldiers fight to win. You know, those folks in Ukraine, some were trained soldiers, some were not. Some are being trained. They go on a 3-day training session now if you've never held a gun. They train in basements because they don't want the Russians with their drones to see where people are being trained and in different groups. It takes training to be a soldier, just like it takes training to be a spiritual soldier. And our training comes from the Word of God. And we become soldiers of the Word. We become soldiers of the truth. Yes, we are told in Ephesians to put on the armor and keep it on. But we must remember that when we are soldiers and we are in a spiritual battle, there are two kinds of people. There are the victims and there are the victors. To be a victor, we need to know what the rules of the battlefield are. And we cannot watch on the sidelines. And as it says in this scripture, we shouldn't get entangled in what they call civilian affairs. Civilian affairs basically is translated into worldly pursuits of entertainment in the media, in trying to gain power, to put others away from us and consider only ourselves. It says that we are not to be gaining power or fame. These are the civilian affairs. What we are asked to do is to fight against the secular forces. And unfortunately, some of those secular forces today are having success. There are atheists now who are promoting atheism in education, but they take the Bible off the shelves. There is the media, entertainment, populated by non-believers. Many Christians who are finding that being a Christian is painful, so they've moved away from this battlefield. Not wanting confrontation, not wanting to be soldiers in Christ any longer. They want to sort of watch what's going on, but they're not willing to give up. But unfortunately, they have, because they prefer the civilian affairs. They're willing to compromise their Christianity. They're willing to what's called deconstruct part of the things that we as Christians believe. We are spiritual soldiers. That is how we are to be strong in Jesus Christ. The second thing that Paul says is we're athletes. Isn't that interesting? Okay, we're spiritual athletes. He says, similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. See, you can't win unless you abide by God's law. You cannot win unless you abide by the rules. You can't win a race if you go outside the lines on the track. You can't win the javelin throw or the, throwing the discus if you step over the line. Doesn't mean you're going to win that actual event, but you, as an athlete, you can compete, but when you compete according to the rules. Our opponent isn't fellow Christians. Our opponent, when we compete, is the world and the flesh and the devil. You see, we're supposed to run the race according to the rules, and those rules are found in only one place. They're found in God's Word. You know, it's interesting that unfortunately society has invented new rules. New rules for what's called the feel-good Christianity that has no moral judgment. In some cases, no cross, no talk of sin. No need for repentance, no judgment, not even hell. They're not even willing to mention the name or word hell. They're happy to use some of what Jesus has preached in the past and equally happy to reject other truths. They've deconstructed, as I've said, Christianity, removing those scriptures that they consider offensive or just can't be considered as real because they supposedly lack love. They preach a prosperity gospel where supposedly God is here to serve us as opposed to us to be serving and pleasing God. See, we're not in a race for a medal or an Olympic crown. We're in a race for our lives. We're in a race for our lives as athletes, spiritual athletes. And the third characteristic, which I find very interesting that he uses this analogy, the third one is we're farmers. And there are people in this room who really understand what that means. But we are farmers. It says the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. See, it requires faith in Christ to be able to tell people about what we believe in. And we have to have faith, but that faith is useless if it's not used. It's sort of like electricity. You know, faith cannot get into us and cannot empower us unless we pass it on to others. That's the importance of faith. Just as a farmer can't take a day off. And I have a lot of appreciation, excuse me, for those people who have no way of getting around the fact that every morning they have to get up and their animals have to be taken care of and fed. Every year the crops have to be planted. Every year they have to be harvested at a certain time. There is no time where you can just say, well, no, I'm just not going to do that today. I'm going to take a couple of days off and everybody, it'll all take care of itself. It doesn't. We all know that. Even if you have a little dog, you got to feed the dog and take care of the dog every day. You got to take it for a walk. And as farmers, spiritual farmers, we don't take a day off. We are to sow the seed of God's word. We're to sow the seed of God's word in our families, at our workplaces, and our neighborhoods. Paul is reminding us that there can be no victory for the spiritual soldier who does not fight. There can be no prize for the spiritual athlete who breaks the rules. There can be no harvest for the farmer unless he tills the soil, plants the seed, and gathers the crop at harvest time. Then, in the following verses, Paul tells us what to do and he gives us a promise. He says in verse 7 of 2 Timothy, reflect on what I'm saying. Spend time and think about what is being said. And Paul's not just talking to Timothy, he's talking to us as well. He says, think about or reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight. He will reveal to you truth into all of this. I'll be the first person to admit that, you know, we all have this read the Bible through the year. And I hope you are. I think we're at the end of the book of Numbers right now, and we're in John chapter 17 as of today. You know, it's easy to do. You say, well, I got to read the Bible through the year, so I've got my three chapters. I'm just going to read those chapters, and I'm going to check it off, and I've done it. And I'll just wait till tomorrow, and I'll keep on reading then. You see, that's not what Paul is asking us to do. He's saying, reflect on what I am saying. Reflect on God's word. Spend the time in God's word but reflect on it and reap the value that is there. It's not to be a checklist item. It's so easy to fall into that trap. Oh, I got to do 3 devotions, make 10 minutes of prayer, and read 3 chapters in the Bible, and I'm all done. You know what would be better? Read 1 verse in the Bible and spend time afterwards thinking about what that message is being said, why it was written, who it was written to, why it is important to you. I'm not saying you shouldn't read the Bible in a year, but I'm saying that what we should do is reflect, as Paul says, on what God wants us to know and to give us insight. Give us insight. Because that's a promise. God will actually reveal what he wants you or I to know. You know, we often, in the daily struggles, forget Christ Jesus when we need him the most. We get caught up in the busyness. And when we try to sometimes solve our problems very quickly and the challenges, and we try and solve them our way, instead, it leads to bigger problems. What Paul is saying and what Timothy is understanding is that instead of trying to do things our way, maybe we should try thinking of how we should do it God's way. Maybe we should, when we're reflecting, say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Or Lord, please give me your wisdom for this crisis I'm in. Or Lord, help me make the right decision. Or Lord, when I read this scripture and you know what's in my heart and you know what I'm encountering, Lord, help me face this situation with grace and trust in you. Give me strength. Be strong in Jesus Christ. Give me strength and courage. And then Paul gives 3 very important words to Timothy in the next verse. He says, remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Remember Jesus Christ. We're at that time of the year where Easter is just a few weeks away. Here are some of the things maybe we should be remembering when we remember Christ. There's a couple of things that I'm sure will come straight to your mind, but let me go through a few. Remember that Jesus, he is our great example and our role model. Remember that Jesus, because the Holy Spirit can enable the love of Jesus to shine through each and every one of us. Remember Jesus because God the Father raised him from the dead. Remember Jesus because as the Son of David, he is human like us, and even though he is also from God, he came in human form. Remember Jesus who died on the cross, but he did not stay on the cross. Remember Jesus who was buried in his tomb, but he did not stay in the tomb. Remember Jesus whose Good Friday was followed by Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Remember Jesus who wept as a human. He wept in the Garden of Gethsemane, but turned Mary Magdalene's weeping into joy in that garden of resurrection. Remember Jesus, Paul says to Timothy. Remember Jesus, Paul is telling us. Remember Jesus as we soldier for the gospel. Remember Jesus as we compete as an athlete for the gospel. Remember Jesus as we are labor as farmers for the gospel. Remember Jesus as we battle temptation. Remember his suffering on the cross as we endure pain and persecution. Remember, our suffering is only for a short time. And remember that Jesus, because the time is coming when there will be no more tears, and the heavy weight of sin and sorrow will fall away and will be no more. remember Jesus Christ. You know, unfortunately, there are modifications that have been made to the Christian faith. There are belief systems that have crept in, Gnosticism as well, that people have forgotten as opposed to having remembered who Jesus Christ is and was and will be for us for eternity. Unfortunately, there have been false teachers that claim in the end, you know, God will feel sorry for everybody. He's a loving God, so he's just going to feel sorry for us all. And, you know, the gates of heaven will be open, and anybody who wants to come in, you know, either come in by the gate or jump over the wall, you can come to heaven because God loves you. That's a satanic lie. That is a lie. For God set aside, for God to set aside his plan of salvation, or to set aside his judgment for sin, or let unrepentant sinners come into heaven instead of coming through the narrow gate, that would be contrary to who Jesus Christ is. That would be contrary to why he suffered on the cross. Don't believe that false teaching, because it makes a mockery of Christ. We are to remember who Jesus Christ is, what he has done for us, that we can come to him now, unabashed, unashamed, guilt-free, and thank him and praise him for the tremendous future and life that he's set aside for each and every one of us, knowing each of us by name, even knowing our hearts, our thoughts. Paul then finishes, here's a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we died, if we put away our old selves and became repentant, we will live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. Yes, we will reign with him. As athletes, the crown is waiting for us. If we disown him, though, he will disown us. And if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. What that last part of the verse means is, basically, if we fall away, if we get torn away, if we become unfaithful to the gospel, Jesus Christ, though, still remains faithful. And he will see that the gospel will still go out to all nations, even if people fall away. God promises that he will honor and reward his soldiers of the gospel. He will reward those who run the race of faith, the race of truth, the race of God's word, to the end, according to God's rules. He promises that reward. And he will be with us. He will be with us as we till the soil, plant the seed, and gather. Remember Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we are coming before you. We come before you as spiritual warriors, as soldiers, as athletes, as farmers. But it's by your grace that you give us strength. Help us, Father, to understand what it means that you have called us to be soldiers and athletes and farmers. That you have called us for a tremendous future. That we be thankful and appreciative more than we can imagine, more than we can say, of your grace that you have given us life. Help us to reflect. Help us to remember. Help us to spread this good news in this world of turmoil at this time. That there is hope and that there is joy. And it all comes thanks to you, Lord Jesus, for coming to this earth as a human, dying on the cross, being resurrected, so that we may have eternal life. May we always remember you throughout the day. May we take the time to reflect. May we remember. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.